What does it truly mean to be unstoppable? Peter B. Kynes, the go-getter, has been answering this question for over a century, inspiring generations of business leaders with its deceptively simple message. First published in 1921, this slim volume has become required reading at companies like Apple and Netflix, where executives distribute copies to new hires as a blueprint for the mindset they seek. When Steve Jobs returned to Apple in 1997, he reportedly kept a stack of these books in his office, handing them to employees facing seemingly impossible challenges. The book's enduring appeal lies in its straightforward narrative that captures the essence of what separates extraordinary achievers from the merely competent. In a business world increasingly focused on credentials and specialized skills, the go-getter reminds us of something more fundamental: the unstoppable power of determined human will. The story opens in the offices of Rick's Lumber and Logging Company, where we meet Cappy Ricks, the aging but sharp-witted founder of the business. Cappy is engaged in a heated discussion with his son-in-law Matt Peasley and his general manager Mr. Skinner about their Shanghai office manager Henderson, who is absconded with company funds. While Cappy had secretly bonded Henderson against such an eventuality, he's more concerned with the poor judgment his executive showed in hiring the man in the first place. The trouble with you fellows is that you think the good Lord created the human race with everyone equal, Cappy admonishes them. They're not. Some men are natural-born managers and leaders. Others are followers. Some have initiative, resourcefulness, and an unwavering determination to succeed no matter what obstacles they face. As the three debate the qualities needed in Henderson's replacement, their conversation is interrupted by the arrival of William E. Peck, a disabled war veteran seeking employment. Despite being rejected by both Skinner and Matt Peasley at the reception desk, Peck confidently makes his way to Cappy's office, announcing he has called for his job. What makes this moment remarkable is not just Peck's boldness, but his preparation. When questioned about his qualifications, he doesn't merely list his experience, he demonstrates his understanding of the lumber business and shows how his military background has equipped him with discipline, resourcefulness, and an unbreakable spirit. Where others see his war injury as a limitation, Peck presents it as evidence of his resilience. "I lost my left arm in the Argonne," he explains matter-of-factly. "But that won't interfere with my work. I can do anything another man can do." Impressed by the young man's salesmanship and military service, Cappy decides to give him a chance, instructing the reluctant Skinner to hire Peck while they send Andrews to Shanghai on a temporary basis. This opening encounter establishes the central conflict of the story. Not just between Peck and the obstacles he'll face, but between different philosophies of business leadership. Cappy's belief in the power of character versus his executive's more cautious, conventional approach. After Cappy directs Skinner to hire Peck, the general manager's resentment becomes palpable. Skinner sees Peck as an imposition, someone forced upon him through Cappy's sentimentality rather than sound business judgment. What follows is a classic case of managerial sabotage, as Skinner plots to prove his point by setting Peck up to fail. "I'll put him to work selling skunk spruce," Skinner tells Cappy with barely concealed satisfaction. This particular lumber was notorious in the industry, coarse, stringy, heavy, and with an offensive odor that made it virtually unmarketable. Salesmen had been trying unsuccessfully to move this inventory for years. Cappy, recognizing Skinner's intentions, doesn't interfere directly. Instead, he offers a subtle warning: "Don't set an impossible price on it." This small intervention reveals Cappy's character. He wants to test Peck, not destroy him. He's willing to let the young veteran face a genuine challenge, but not an insurmountable one. When Cappy later encounters Peck on the street during lunch, he's astonished to discover the veteran has already had business cards printed for Rick's Lumber and Logging Company, a full week before he'd even applied for the job. This level of preparation and confidence impresses Cappy further, but he feels compelled to warn Peck about the skunk spruce assignment awaiting him. It's coarse and stringy and wet and heavy and smells just like a skunk, Cappy explains. Most contractors refuse to use it because they can get better lumber at the same price. Peck's response is immediate and unflinching. I can sell anything at a price. This exchange illustrates a critical aspect of the go-getter mindset, the refusal to accept limitations imposed by others. Where most salespeople would see skunk spruce as an impossible assignment, Peck sees only a problem requiring a creative solution. He doesn't waste energy complaining about unfairness or seeking easier work. Instead, he immediately begins thinking about how to approach the challenge. The deliberate sabotage Peck faces is something many professionals encounter in their careers, whether through office politics, unconscious bias, or simple resistance to new ideas. What distinguishes the go-getter is not avoiding these situations, but transforming them into opportunities to demonstrate exceptional value. Over the next 2 months, Bill Peck demonstrates exactly why Cappy's instincts about him were correct. While most salesmen would have floundered with the skunk spruce assignment, a task that had defeated several experienced salespeople before him, Peck turns it into a remarkable triumph. He secures 5 new accounts in the Southwestern Territories, customers who had never before purchased from Rick's Lumber and Logging, and sells multiple carloads of the supposedly unmarketable lumber, achieving what many had deemed impossible. How does he accomplish this seemingly insurmountable feat? Not through deception or manipulation, but through a sophisticated combination of persistence, creative problem-solving, and value creation. Rather than trying to convince contractors that skunk spruce was equal to premium lumber, a losing proposition that others had attempted, Peck takes a fundamentally different approach. He methodically identifies specific applications where its limitations wouldn't matter, conducting detailed analyses of construction projects and building requirements. For interior structural work that would later be covered by finishing materials, such as floor joists, internal wall supports, and ceiling beams, the lumber's appearance and odor became irrelevant considerations. By pricing it appropriately for these specialized uses, he creates genuine value for his customers while solving his company's pressing inventory problem. This innovative approach reveals another crucial dimension of the go-getter mentality, the ability to reframe challenges by focusing on possibilities rather than limitations. Where others saw only the negative attributes of skunk spruce, its distinctive odor, its appearance, its marketing challenges, Peck identified contexts where those negatives wouldn't matter and where its lower price could become a compelling competitive advantage. He develops detailed cost analyses showing contractors exactly how much they could save on specific projects, turning what was seen as a liability into an asset. When Skinner reluctantly proposes raising Peck's salary at year-end following traditional corporate timing, Cappy insists it happen immediately and at a higher rate than Andrews was making. This moment illustrates an important principle in leadership. Exceptional performance should be rewarded promptly and generously, without being constrained by conventional timing or bureaucratic procedures. By demanding immediate recognition for Peck's achievements, Cappy demonstrates that in his organization, results matter more than seniority or office politics, a philosophy that drives innovation and excellence. The episode also reveals Cappy's growing dissatisfaction with Andrew's performance in Shanghai. Despite his longer tenure with the company and supposedly superior experience, Andrews requires constant guidance, seeks approval for routine decisions, and lacks the initiative to solve problems independently, the exact opposite of what Cappy seeks in a manager. This stark contrast between Andrews and Peck highlights a fundamental truth about business success. Experience alone doesn't create value. It's the application of experience through decisive action and creative problem-solving that truly matters. While Andrews relies on traditional methods and careful adherence to established procedures, Peck demonstrates that innovation and determination can overcome seemingly impossible. Having observed Peck's impressive performance, Cappy begins to consider him for the vacant Shanghai manager position. However, before entrusting him with such responsibility, Cappy decides to administer what he calls the ultimate test, delivering a blue vase. This cryptic challenge, which Cappy refers to as the degree of the blue vase, becomes the centerpiece of the story and reveals the true essence of what makes a go-getter. On a Sunday afternoon, Peck receives an urgent call from Cappy while attending a business meeting at Skinner's home. Cappy explains that his sister has seen a specific blue cloisonné vase in a shop window on Sutter Street, and he desperately wants to purchase it as a gift for Mrs. Ricks. The catch? The shop is closed on Sundays, and Cappy needs the vase delivered to him that very evening on his southbound train. What follows is a masterclass in problem-solving and determination. Peck immediately sets out to locate the shop, only to discover the sign Cappy described was misspelled. After tracking down the correct store through persistent questioning of neighborhood businesses, he locates the owner's home address and convinces him to open the shop. Upon learning the vase cost $2,000 cash, an enormous sum in 1921, equivalent to over $30,000 today, Peck faces another obstacle. When both Skinner and Captain Peasley refuse to help with the money, claiming they don't have company funds available on a Sunday, Peck pawns his own diamond ring as security for payment. The final hurdle emerges when Peck realizes no regular transportation will get him to Cappy's train in time. Undeterred, he convinces a pilot friend to fly himself, where he flags down Cappy's train in the Salinas Valley at 2 a.m., delivering the vase against seemingly impossible odds. This sequence demonstrates the essence of the go-getter mindset. When faced with a series of escalating obstacles, Peck never wavers in his commitment to completing the task. He doesn't make excuses, seek extensions, or explain why the request is unreasonable. Instead, he treats each new challenge as a problem to be solved, maintaining unwavering focus on the ultimate goal. When Peck finally delivers the vase to a surprised Cappy on the train, the truth unfolds in a moment of profound revelation. The entire scenario was an elaborate test, carefully designed to evaluate character and capability. The vase, worth a mere $15, was not valuable in monetary terms, but priceless as an instrument for identifying exceptional talent. By successfully completing this seemingly arbitrary and increasingly difficult task, Peck has demonstrated the rare qualities Cappy seeks in his executives. "The degree of the blue vase has been conferred on you, my boy," Cappy announces with evident satisfaction. "You are now a regular, dyed-in-the-wool, copper-riveted, guaranteed-for-life blue vaser." This ceremonial declaration marks Peck's entry into an elite group of individuals who have proven their extraordinary determination. The revelation transforms our understanding of the story on multiple levels. What appeared to be a capricious request from an eccentric boss emerges as a sophisticated assessment tool that Cappy has refined over decades. The test's brilliance lies in its apparent unreasonableness. It requires candidates to demonstrate not just basic competence, but exceptional qualities. Initiative in the face of uncertainty, resourcefulness when confronted with obstacles, and unwavering commitment to completing assigned tasks regardless of their apparent difficulty or logic. The test also reveals how candidates handle frustration, navigate unexpected challenges, and maintain their professional demeanor under pressure. When Cappy offers Peck the prestigious $10,000 a year position as Shanghai manager, the young veteran attributes his success to a powerful motto instilled by his brigadier during the war: "It shall be done." This simple yet profound phrase encapsulates the essence of the go-getter philosophy, a mindset that focuses relentlessly on results rather than excuses, on finding solutions rather than dwelling on problems. The motto serves as a mental trigger, pushing individuals beyond their perceived limitations and comfortable assumptions about what's possible. The story reaches a poignant climax when Cappy discovers that Peck served under Brigadier General Leroy S. Lyon, the very same officer who had passed Cappy's own blue vase test 25 years earlier. This surprising connection illuminates how the go-getter mentality is transmitted through generations, creating a legacy of excellence through example and mentorship. It demonstrates that success principles are timeless and that great leaders not only embody these principles, but also actively cultivate them in others. The Blue Vase Test, as Cappy reveals, has identified countless successful executives over the years. Some candidates gave up within hours, others persisted for days but ultimately failed, and a select few, like Peck, demonstrated the extraordinary persistence that marks true leadership potential. This systematic approach to identifying talent has built Cappy's business empire, proving that success is not about innate ability alone, but about the unshakable determination to overcome any obstacle in pursuit of a goal. At its core, the go-getter presents a philosophy of achievement that transcends its business context. Through Bill Peck's journey, we learn that success depends less on circumstances than on our response to them. The story identifies several key principles that define the go-getter mindset, each demonstrating how determination and resourcefulness can overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles. First, preparation precedes opportunity. Peck didn't wait until he was hired to learn about the lumber business or print his business cards. He positioned himself for success before the opportunity even materialized. This principle manifests in his thorough research of the lumber industry, memorization of product specifications, and understanding of market dynamics. By investing time in preparation, he transformed himself from an outsider to a knowledgeable candidate before his first interview. Second, obstacles are not roadblocks, but challenges to be overcome. Whether facing Skinner's deliberate sabotage or the seemingly impossible blue vase task, Peck never allows difficulties to derail his commitment to the goal. When confronted with a snowstorm that would have given most people a legitimate excuse to fail, he adapts and perseveres. His response to each setback demonstrates that obstacles often serve as opportunities to prove one's worth and innovation. Third, resourcefulness trumps resources. Throughout the story, Peck demonstrates that limitations in time, money, or authority can be overcome through creative thinking and determined action. When conventional approaches fail, he finds unconventional solutions. This is particularly evident when he leverages relationships, thinks laterally, and creates alternative pathways to his objectives. His ability to secure transportation during a strike and navigate through a blizzard showcases how resourcefulness can overcome seemingly insurmountable barriers. Fourth, results matter more than methods. Cappy doesn't prescribe how Peck should sell skunk spruce or obtain the blue vase. He cares only that the tasks are completed successfully. This focus on outcomes rather than processes creates space for innovation and personal initiative. Peck's creative solutions, while unexpected, achieve the desired results and demonstrate the value of autonomous problem solving. This principle encourages thinking beyond traditional boundaries and finding novel approaches to challenges. Finally, character reveals itself under pressure. The increasingly difficult blue vase challenge strips away pretense and reveals Peck's true nature. His unwavering commitment to completing assigned tasks regardless of personal cost or inconvenience. Under extreme conditions, including physical exhaustion, time constraints, and personal sacrifice, Peck's core values shine through. His response to each escalating challenge demonstrates that true character is revealed not in moments of ease, but in times of extreme difficulty. These principles form a coherent philosophy of achievement that applies far beyond the business world. Whether in personal relationships, creative pursuits, or community service, the go-getter approach offers a framework for turning aspirations into accomplishments through determined, resourceful action. This philosophy suggests that success is available to anyone willing to embrace these principles and apply them consistently, regardless of their starting point or the obstacles they face. The story's enduring relevance lies in its demonstration that these principles are universal and timeless. In today's rapidly changing business environment, the ability to prepare thoroughly, overcome obstacles creatively, and maintain unwavering commitment to goals remains as valuable as ever. The go-getter philosophy provides a practical framework for achieving excellence in any endeavor, emphasizing that success is not about inherent advantages, but about the approach one takes to challenges. While Bill Peck's journey forms the narrative heart of the story, Cappy Ricks's approach to leadership provides an equally valuable lesson. Through his interactions with Peck, Skinner, and Matt Peasley, Cappy demonstrates a sophisticated understanding of how to identify, test, and develop exceptional talent. Cappy's approach begins with looking beyond conventional credentials to assess character. When first meeting Peck, he's less interested in the young man's resume than in his attitude, preparation, and response to adversity. He recognizes that past performance in similar roles, while important, isn't as predictive of success as fundamental character traits like determination and resourcefulness. Once he identifies potential, Cappy creates opportunities for demonstration rather than simply taking promises at face value. By allowing Skinner to assign Peck the difficult skunk spruce territory, he creates a genuine test of the veteran's abilities. This approach benefits both the organization, which gains valuable performance data, and the individual, who earns credibility through achievement rather than rhetoric. Perhaps most importantly, Cappy understands that exceptional talent requires exceptional challenges. The blue vase test isn't merely about identifying who can perform routine tasks competently. It's designed to reveal who possesses the rare combination of determination, resourcefulness, and commitment needed for leadership positions. By creating an escalating series of obstacles, Cappy ensures that only truly exceptional candidates advance to critical roles. This leadership philosophy stands in stark contrast to more conventional approaches represented by Skinner and Matt Peasley. Where they focus on minimizing risk through caution and conformity, Cappy embraces calculated risk-taking to identify extraordinary potential. Where they see Peck's disability as a limitation, Cappy recognizes it as evidence of resilience and determination. The story suggests that truly effective leadership isn't about avoiding mistakes, but about creating systems that identify exceptional talent and channel it toward organizational goals. By establishing clear tests of character and rewarding those who pass them, leaders can build organizations populated by go-getters rather than merely competent functionaries. A century after its publication, The Go-Getter remains profoundly relevant because it addresses timeless aspects of human character and achievement. In an era of increasing automation and artificial intelligence, where algorithms handle routine tasks and machines replace repetitive jobs, the qualities that define Bill Peck, determination, resourcefulness, and unwavering commitment to completing assigned tasks, become exponentially more valuable, not less. While machines can execute defined processes with precision, they cannot demonstrate the creative problem-solving, emotional intelligence, and personal commitment that define the go-getter mentality. In today's rapidly evolving workplace, these distinctly human qualities often mark the difference between mediocrity and excellence. The story speaks powerfully to our collective desire for meritocracy, for a world where achievement is rewarded regardless of background or circumstances. Bill Peck succeeds not through connections, credentials, or privilege, but through demonstrated performance and relentless effort. His journey from wounded veteran to successful businessman reminds us that while starting points may differ, the capacity for determined action remains universally available. This message resonates particularly strongly in our current environment of widening social gaps and debates about equality of opportunity. Perhaps most importantly, the go-getter offers a refreshing and necessary counterpoint to victim mentality and excuse-making that has become increasingly prevalent in modern society. In an environment where external factors, whether economic conditions, market forces, or systemic barriers, are often blamed for personal failures, Bill Peck's refusal to be limited by circumstances provides an empowering alternative narrative. Whether facing his war injury, Skinner's deliberate sabotage, or the seemingly impossible Blue Vase Challenge, Peck consistently demonstrates that obstacles are not roadblocks but challenges to be overcome. This perspective doesn't mean ignoring or dismissing genuine structural barriers or systemic challenges that exist in society. Rather, it suggests that even within constrained circumstances, our response remains our choice and our power. We can choose to focus on limitations and justifications for failure, or we can direct our energy toward finding creative solutions and alternative pathways forward. This distinction becomes particularly crucial in times of economic uncertainty or social upheaval, when external challenges might seem overwhelming. The enduring appeal of the go-getter lies in this fundamental truth. While we cannot control all circumstances, we maintain absolute control over our response to them. By choosing determination over despair, resourcefulness over resignation, and action over excuses, we claim agency over our lives and expand the boundaries of what's possible. This message proves especially vital in today's world, where rapid change and uncertainty can easily lead to paralysis or surrender. In Bill Peck's simple yet powerful motto, "It shall be done," we find not just a business philosophy, but a comprehensive life philosophy. It's an affirmation that through unwavering commitment to our goals, we can overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles and achieve what others consider impossible. The story demonstrates that success often lies not in having more resources, but in being more resourceful. Not in facing fewer obstacles, but in developing greater determination to overcome them. That message remains as powerful and necessary today as it was a century ago, perhaps even more so in our increasingly complex and challenging world.